It was the earliest part of the morning when the first light just broke upon the horizon. Just a bit of light began to move across the sky, and several women stirred from their beds, gathered the spices they had prepared for the anointing of the body of Jesus. They converged from their homes and met together and walked the rest of the way to the tomb where his body had been laid. It had been, at very best, a restless night, perhaps a sleepless night. Their thoughts were constantly with the one who had given them hope as no one ever had before. Now his body laid in a tomb. They were forbidden on the Sabbath days to be there, but now they would go and give his body the treatment it so well deserved. I don't know if they knew about the seal that Pilate had put on the stone that was rolled in front of the tomb. No matter. Somehow they would get in and take care of his body. They wondered among themselves who would roll that stone away for them. Little by little, light came to the sky, and they arrived at the tomb. As they came close, they noticed the tomb was open. They walked a little more briskly, arriving to that amazing place. With the stone rolled away, they walked right into the tomb itself, and there inside, something very unusual. There were two men, they not normal men as we would see them. These were angels. These two men stood there in that place. They saw the place, the slab of stone where the body had laid. The angel spoke to them. They said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Go and tell the disciples." Oh, there was such wonder in their thoughts. Mary is quick out the tomb, and off she goes running to find the disciples. The other women go a different route and leave the tomb area. Mary comes upon Peter and upon John, and she cries, "They've taken away the body of our Lord, and I don't know where they've taken it." Peter and John just strike out like a bolt of lightning, and they run. John is the younger, light of foot. He gets to the tomb first. He stops and leans upon the edge of the doorway, and he looks inside. Peter comes running behind. He gets to the tomb, and he doesn't stop. He rushes right in. There's the slab of stone where the body had laid. There are the linen cloths that had covered his body. There's the napkin that had covered his face. All kinds of thoughts run through his mind. He's confused. What has happened? What is going on? The body's not there. Where is the body? What has happened? John, then following Peter's lead into the tomb, walks through the doorway, and he sees it. He sees the empty slab, the empty cloths, the empty napkin, and suddenly it rushes over him. He's alive! He's alive! Peter and John come walking out of the tomb together, and Peter's in his daze and wondering, what is going on? And John is saying, "He's alive, he's alive." Maybe even patting him on Peter's back. "He's alive, he's alive." And Peter's, what's going on? And they begin to walk away. Mary has been left there at the tomb alone. The other women are gone. Peter and John are gone now. She sees the two angels. She speaks to them. They have taken the body of my Lord away, and I know not where they have laid him. She turns. There's a bit of a garden there. She sees someone standing. She supposes that it's the gardener, and she speaks to him. Sir, did you carry the body away? Please tell me where it is, and I will take care of it. And the man speaks. Who are you looking for? The voice. It's strangely familiar. But it's the gardener. He says, Mary. And then she recognizes it. It's unmistakable. She turns, she looks into his face. She sees that it's the Savior. He's alive. He's alive. It is true. He's alive. The one who had died on the cross, bearing our sins in his body on the tree. Yes, he was buried in that tomb. They rolled the stone closed. Pilate put a seal on it. No one had the authority under Pilate to open that door. God is not under Pilate. He's over him. And he had the authority to roll that stone away. Oh, it need not be done for Jesus to come out of the grave. It only needed to be done so that the disciples and the women could get in and see. He's alive. 2 years later, there was a man named Saul who was traveling along a road to the city of Damascus. For all these 2 years, Saul had dedicated his life, determined that he would have put a stop to this preaching in the name of Jesus. No more would someone speak in that man's name. He would do everything he could to bring a stop to it. He had arrested many. He had been complicit in the stoning of Stephen. And we don't know how many might have been put to death because of Saul's activities. Now here he travels along this road, intent upon going to the city of Damascus and capturing some more of those followers of Jesus and arresting them and bringing back to Jerusalem and putting them on trial. Suddenly there's a light of brilliance. In the midst of that, there is a person. He looks. Who are you, Lord? The others around him see the brilliance of the light, but they don't hear a voice. They don't see a man. They don't see a person. Saul sees him. He sees him. He hears that voice. The voice speaking to Saul. That voice, I heard that voice before. Where did I hear that voice before? And then Jesus identifies himself. I'm the one whom you're persecuting. Now everything changes for Paul. He realizes the one who he had such bitterness towards, the people who followed him, for whom Saul had tried so hard to eliminate. Now he sees the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive. Jesus Christ is alive. Very much a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the appearances of Christ after his resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." This marvelous gospel that transforms our lives from lost sinners to sanctified saints. Those who are alienated and enemies of God in this world, now part of the spiritual body of Christ. This marvelous gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, "By which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen." Paul now, whose name is changed to go along with the conversion of his very life, tells us a summary of some of those appearances, not nearly all. Others are recorded for us in the Gospels. He says that he was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, and then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. That's not recorded for us in the gospel. Makes us wonder how many times Christ was seen after his resurrection that we are not told about, and before his ascension into heaven. Verse 7, "After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me." He makes reference to that appearance of Christ to him 2 years after the resurrection, 2 years after the ascension, when Saul was confronted with the reality of the living Savior on the road to Damascus. It's 60 years after that event that we are given the record of Revelation chapter 1. John, that same John that had run with Peter to the tomb, that same John that had stopped at the doorway and waited for Peter to rush right in, that same John who had followed Peter into the tomb and seen the empty slab, the empty clothes, the first one to believe with all his heart in the living, risen Savior Jesus Christ. Now he's the last of the apostles still living on earth. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." It had a glorified sound to it. It was much fuller. It trumpeted like a voice unknown upon the earth, and yet there was something so very familiar about it. A voice that John had heard so many times over 3 years as he followed the Lord Jesus here on this earth. The living Savior in 96 AD declares to John, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches." And he speaks on to John and he describes what he saw in verse 12. "I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about perhaps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. He is now arrayed in all the glory of the Shekinah glory of God, as he has sat at the right hand of the throne of God these years as John lived upon the earth." Verse 15, "And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He is alive indeed. He is alive at this very moment, nearly 2,000 years after the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension into heaven. He is alive even at this very moment. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, we read just a little bit before in Hebrews chapter 7. And we came to this verse in verse 25. And it tells us the marvelous reality that the Savior continues to live. He ever liveth. And he lives with purpose, sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, how we rejoice in what Jesus Christ does in living in this very moment. Having died to take care of our sin, having been buried and raised from the dead and seen of many, giving us that precious gospel that makes it possible not only for the Lord Jesus Christ to be alive, but for us to be alive in him. Would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4? 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. The resurrection is not just about Jesus Christ coming out of the grave. The resurrection is the guarantee that our bodies can come out of the grave and that we can be transformed from being mortal to immortal, from being corrupt to being incorrupt, and live forever in the presence of God. How many times I've stood with families, some of you folks, with loved ones who have gone on before us. And we stand by the graveside. And I like at that moment to point us to the tomb of Christ. For it's empty. And that's our promise. And that's our hope. For as empty as his tomb is, so shall be ours. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, and that for eternity. But the wonderful thing is we don't have to wait until we die to experience the living Christ. Go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Where he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What marvelous truth that is. Christ is not just alive somewhere, and he's not just alive at the right hand of the throne of God. He is alive in me. Because I have received Christ as my Savior, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, has come to dwell in me, and by his presence, Christ himself lives in me. And that can be true for each and every person who would believe that Jesus Christ is alive and who will receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus died. It is a truth. and he died with purpose. It was a death as no other, bearing all of the sins of all mankind in his body on the cross. Your sins. My sins. And he fulfilled that marvelous work, declaring upon the cross, "It is finished." And voluntarily gave his life, sending his spirit forth from his body, dying for us. But just as real as his death is his living again. What the disciples found, what the women found, is an historical fact. Jesus Christ arose from the dead, and he is at this very moment alive. Now the question is he living in you? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Have you believed the gospel of Jesus Christ? That he died for your sins according to the Scripture and was buried. That he arose again from the dead according to the Scriptures and was seen. And what he did in dying and raising again secured for you the forgiveness of sins, the justification of righteousness, and eternal life. Just for the believing, just for the receiving of the Savior. Jesus Christ is alive. Is he now living in you? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Is Jesus living in you? Are you absolutely certain of that? Is there absolutely no doubt in your mind, in your heart? You know, you have believed, you have trusted Jesus Christ, and Christ is living in you. I hope that is the condition of your life. But if not, as long as we have breath upon this earth, it is not too late. You may believe right now and trust Christ as your Savior. Will you say to him, "Lord, I know that I am a sinner and totally lost. There's nothing I can do to help myself, but I believe that Jesus Christ did everything that needs to be done upon the cross of Calvary and in the raising from the dead. And I believe him, and I trust him, and I receive him now as my Savior." Oh, pray that prayer. Receive Christ as your Savior now. And know that Christ is not only living, he's living in you. Heavenly Father, speak to hearts in this moment. And if there is anyone here who needs to receive Christ before it is eternally too late, please impress upon their hearts and minds the truth of the gospel and fulfill your word that says, "Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God." May faith come to hearts this day, and souls be saved, and Christ come to live in their hearts. Thank you, O Lord, our God, for the risen, living Savior. And thank you from us who believe that he lives in us. And we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like someone to talk to you about receiving Christ as your Savior, please come as we sing this closing song and sing it from your hearts. He lives.